Right. So today we have Chelsea Lee with us. Chelsea's going to tell us a little bit more about her experience of antenatal depression and generally her journey whilst being pregnant and after pregnancy. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us, Chelsea. Tell us.
Tell you, where shall I start?
Let's start from pregnancy. How? Yeah.
So I had a really, I have to say this first and foremost, I had a really easy pregnancy in terms of physical problems. Like I really, really had an easy time. So I'm going to talk a lot about how much training I did during my pregnancy, but there are women out there who can't, and that's, it's no judgment on you if like you can't train to the amount that I did. I trained a lot, and my students, some of them have gotten pregnant since and have expected to be able to train that much. It's not necessarily something that you can do. So all the experiences that I had are very personal to me and my body, and everybody should really, really learn to listen closely, especially when they're pregnant, to what their body is telling them. And that goes in both directions. If your body is telling you you can train more, then you should listen to it. And if your body's telling you you need to slow down, you need to listen to that too. So I'm going to talk about my experience, obviously, but everybody's experience is going to be very, very different. Mm-hmm. So I had a very easy pregnancy. I had a little bit of like nausea in the first trimester, really not a whole lot. I didn't even really start showing until probably halfway through my second trimester. So like I wasn't experiencing like massive changes at first, other than the fact that I just couldn't train as hard as I was used to. And I also couldn't train with people who wanted to train with me because they didn't know I was pregnant yet. We kind of kept it quiet for a long time. So I had a very, very easy pregnancy. Like I said, I trained all the way up through the end of my pregnancy. I think I stopped lifting about a week before I gave birth. And I only stopped lifting because I didn't want to have had a lifting session in the morning and then go into labor in the evening. Like, that's really just, I didn't want that to happen. So I stopped lifting.
Wow.
At about 40 weeks pregnant, because I just did not want that experience. But I mean, I stayed very, very active the whole way through, but that didn't stop me from experiencing like antenatal depression, which is depression that occurs before pregnancy. We talk a lot about postnatal depression, but I didn't have any experiences with that. I had a really positive postnatal experience, but before I gave birth, I had a really, really tough time with just like being pregnant.
Wow. So did that start immediately, or like on becoming pregnant, or was that something that sort of evolved?
It was at first, you have the kind of the newness of it, and it's like an exciting thing, and it's a new kind of experience. But then, 40 weeks is a really long time. Yeah. And when you're looking, you have an app or whatever, you're tracking, and you're like, oh, I'm 8, 10, 12 weeks today. And then you think, oh my God, that's 12 weeks into 40 weeks, maybe 42 weeks of pregnancy. That's a long time. And I have a really, really, really long time to go still. That was the hardest bit for me, was that countdown. And just, this is this long before I can even start to think about training again, or like teaching effectively, because teaching was doable but hard, because it was later at night. Obviously you always train in the evenings, right? Most people train in the evenings, so all of my work hours were late at night or later at night, and that was exhausting. Like just being up all day and then having to teach in the evenings, I found really, really difficult. So it was like an ongoing thing. And as soon as I hit about, I think 12, 13 weeks, that's when it started to really kind of hit me, because the newness was gone. But then all of a sudden, oh man, I have 30 more weeks of this before I can even think about like anything else. And that was when it really kind of started to bother me.
So how did it manifest? Like, what was your experience? Was it like sort of fatigue, sort of depression? How did you actually feel? Because in my mind, like, I don't know if it's the same as sort of more like depression outside of pregnancy? Like, how did you experience it?
It's hard to separate fatigue from pregnancy and fatigue from depression, because especially in the first trimester, you are just so heavily fatigued. Even if you have an easy pregnancy like I did, I had a really, like I said, really, really easy ride of it. But I was tired, especially in that first trimester. So I think there's probably some fatigue associated with it, but I'm positive that more of that was just being pregnant. For me, it was like, I didn't want to go into the gym. I didn't want to I didn't feel like I had anything to look forward to every day, because training is something that I always enjoy pretty much. I always like to go into the gym. It's always something that I like to do. So every day I have something that I'm looking forward to doing in the evenings. And when I was pregnant, I had nothing. I had nothing I was looking forward to. And it was just this long expanse of like boring days that I just didn't know how to fill. And I didn't know what to do with, essentially. And that's what really was, it was wearing, just this long, long, long time of, what am I going to do with myself today? What am I going to do? I started lifting a lot more frequently at around, I want to say probably 20 weeks. And that kind of got me through the rest. And that's what kind of got me through the hump of seeing all those weeks just stretching out in front of me. But even that was difficult because I don't love to lift. Anybody who knows me is going to know that, like, I don't like to lift. I do it because you have to, but I don't like it. So it was something to do, but it wasn't what I wanted to be doing, and that was hard too.
So when you said you trained throughout your pregnancy, did you mean lifting or did you mean jiu-jitsu as well?
I did jujitsu as well. I did jujitsu until I was probably, I think the last seminar I taught, I was 36 weeks pregnant, and at that, wow. I taught it with my husband, so he was more functional than I was. But I found that by the time I hit about 32 weeks, I couldn't teach anything on the ground anymore. So we were just teaching like seminars that were about takedowns and guard pulling and like that kind of thing, because I literally couldn't lay on my back anymore without just being like a turtle that had been rolled over. I have some great video of me probably around 25, 26 weeks pregnant teaching a nogi seminar. I'm like this giant bowling ball, and you can just see on my face I'm just angry. I'm just mad. I'm mad about being there. I'm mad about being pregnant. I'm mad that nobody's doing the technique right. I'm just mad. Everything about me is mad. I'm surprised that those guys even still like us. They have us back regularly. But like, I think probably only because they knew me at that point. They knew that I wasn't usually that mad.
But
I will get you those videos, because they're pretty funny. It's like watching a bowling ball try and do a takedown.
when you trained,
yes,
who did you train with, and how did you trust the people you trained? Do you know
I train with my husband almost every day, and that's an easy person to pick out. But I also, you know, I know my students really well, so I was able, the women, obviously, especially the other mothers, know exactly what they need to do to train safely with a pregnant woman. But, you know, I have some male students as well who are very, very good about just flow rolling, just being really careful not to fall on me. When you've trained as long as I have, you kind of have a good sense of how you can fall and not get hurt, how you can move your body and not worry too much about getting hurt. So I was never really worried about getting hurt. That if you don't have as much experience, you should worry a lot more about that. That's the reality of it. But when you've been doing something your entire life, you know, the doctor told me, you've been doing this your whole life, you don't have to worry about hurting yourself, because you don't get hurt on a daily basis just doing it. So it's fine. Just choose people that are going to be safe with you. So the bigger frustration was that I could train after the first trimester, there was no playing guard. It was all on top. Everything was just guard passing for the rest of my pregnancy. And I've always been the kind of person where if I'm doing something, I want it to be done right. And I want to be doing it right. And I never felt like I could do anything right while I was pregnant, because obviously you can't. there. You just can't. Your body is not, that's not where you're at in your life. Your life is not for that at the moment. So that's just a major frustration for me. If I can't sit down and I can't do it properly, I don't want to do it at all. And when you're pregnant, you can't do anything physical properly except kind of sit.
But. I mean, it feels like a huge loss of identity. Like suddenly you're not doing the thing that you do. Like, as you say, to the fullest, to the extent as to what the standard that you are used to doing. So is that sort of tied into the depression as well? It's this just sense of like, is it like a sense of loss?
Yes, absolutely. I think I never had the sense that I was going to lose it completely or that I was never going to be able to go back to it. That was never a fear. But it was just this grinding feeling of the days just going on and on and on. And it was just interminable, you know. The other thing is that when I was pregnant, it was that summer that we had that was so hot. We had no rain for like months on end. You remember, and it was just miserable. It was so hot and so miserable. And I was sweaty. And I'm a cold person normally. Like, I'm from California. I'm cold all the time. You're carrying extra body weight. You're carrying extra body fat. And I've never been hot in my life. And I was just mad all the time. I was furious at everyone and everything. So that's another way that it really kind of, it showed itself in me. And I was just, I had a really short temper. I had no time or patience for anything at all. And I had this sense that time was slipping away and that, you know, everybody else was doing other things. You know, they were competing, they were training hard, they were learning things, they were developing. And I was stuck and I was getting pulled backwards and being like mired in this like moment. And I eventually got to the point where I called up my midwife and I was like, I need something here. And the worst bit about it was there's no support. She was like, oh, I can prescribe you some medication. And I have no problem with psychotropic drugs. Like, I have no problem with medication. I think absolutely medication is something that people should use because it's really effective. But when you're know that the depression that you're feeling is from a situation, that's not what you need. You need somebody to help you manage the situation, not medication to help you manage the situation, particularly when you're pregnant. I think that, like I said, I believe in those medications, but I think that when you're pregnant and you could manage it a different way, you should, because there are risks that are involved with any kind of medication and pregnancy. So I ended up going private and getting therapy that way. And that was really effective for me. But I was really frustrated because, like, obviously I'm from America and I shouldn't be bad mouthing the NHS at all because of the situation there. But I do feel that mental health is really, really under-treated by the NHS. And they're very, very willing to just throw drugs at it and hope they solve the problem, when really all I needed was some support. And luckily I had the funds to go private. I had the, you know, like, Tom and I sat down and we talked about it, and it's expensive, but he was like, look, this is what you need to do. This is what's going to help keep you healthy. So it's fine. We can make this happen. But I know that there are plenty of other women who don't have that. Like, they don't have that opportunity to, you know, pay out of pocket for the help that they need. And, you know, as a result, we really need to support women better during pregnancy. Because that, I feel like so many women experience what I did to various degrees, right? It's not always like, oh, all of a sudden I can't fight people anymore. There's other things that pregnancy kind of puts a damper on that people need help with. And I was really disappointed by that.
And with the help that you got from the private sector, how was that structured? Did you have to, like, how quick did it help?
It honestly, it helped right away. I found a woman kind of who did who was registered as a therapist and all that kind of stuff, just in the next like little village over, so I could walk there. She had her practice in her back garden. It was all very relaxing. You know, we did some CBT, we did some other, you know, stuff to manage anxiety and thought and like obsessive thoughts and, you know, that kind of thing. And it helped right away just to know that I was doing something, because so much of, like I said, my problem was just this feeling of interminable, like never ending, like this is just going to go on and on and on, and I have no way of managing it. But like, you know, if you're seeing somebody every week, at least every week I can go and I can just complain about this for an hour at least. I can just complain until like the 40 weeks is up.
Did you, and so then when you had the baby and postnatal, how did it resolve itself? Did you feel, how did that change?
Immediately it was like a light switch. I was so lucky that I didn't experience any postnatal depression. I had the opposite. It was like, as soon as I had Fia, it was like, oh, this is all fine now. This is all fine. Like, I feel really lucky because motherhood came to me so naturally that I was so worried. I was so worried it wouldn't, but it came to me so naturally. And like, that was just, I think, a blessing in disguise, that as soon as I had her, all of a sudden nothing else was a problem. But again, that's not the reality for a lot of women. A lot of women's antenatal depression then transfers right over into postnatal depression. And there, if there's no support, I think postnatal depression becomes postnatal psychosis way too easily. And, you know, psychosis, anxiety, all those kinds of things just can cause really, really bad outcomes for women and their children. So without support, there is just, you know, I got lucky more than anything else.
It's quite scary how under, not misunderstood, but just not understood by, well, most people, these sorts of experiences, because it seems like a lot of the time women go through them, but there's sort of shame around it. Like, oh, I can't possibly feel sad about this sort of blessing, this wonderful thing that's happening, because, oh, that's sort of, it's just not allowed. It's sort of this feeling that you're having a feeling that you shouldn't have, and it's a bad thing, and you're sort of, that seems to almost become part of the depression, that you feel terrible, and then you feel bad about feeling terrible, and then you feel worse because you feel that, do you know what I mean? It's this really sad and awful cycle that is perpetuated by lack of education around this, both ante and post.
Yeah, it really is. I was again lucky a little bit in the sense that everybody expected me to hate being pregnant. That was just kind of like, yeah, of course you're going to hate being pregnant. Look at your life. Everything about your life is now upended. Of course you hate being pregnant. So I kind of got more understanding than the average woman would as well. And that kind of says to me that it must be really, really hard for the average woman to, you know, experience these feelings and not really have a way to name them or to, you know, justify them, which is the other problem. You know, you get a baby out of the end of pregnancy, but pregnancy is hard. It's hard on your body. I had a great pregnancy, and it was hard.
When you say great pregnancy, what do you mean?
I didn't have SPD, so I had no like major pelvic pain. I didn't have any kind of morning sickness, really. I was a little bit nauseous in my first trimester, but no major problems. Mm-hmm. I had a really, really uncomplicated pregnancy. Nothing was difficult. I was dead center average the whole way through. Really, really normal in pretty much every single way. So, like, I didn't have any complications. I didn't have any issues with her. She was just in there happy as can be. And it's different if you have a complicated pregnancy, too. I have a friend right now who is having very, very bad pelvic pain with her pregnancy. Makes it really hard for her to do literally anything. She can't train. She can't do a lunge. She can't squat. It's awful, right? So all she can really do is get in the pool. And what's she, like, even though she's not as into jujitsu as I am, it's still so hard for her, right?
Yeah. Do you think that if you did not seek help from a therapist back when you did, it would have carried on to after?
I think I was lucky. I think there was always kind of an end date because it was so situational for me. But I think that is very specific to me, not necessarily indicative of the experience overall. I think that very easily that could translate into postnatal depression very, very easily. I, again, my husband is incredibly supportive as well, which makes things much, much easier. As soon as I was through labor, he was like, it's fine. You're going to rest for a few weeks. I'm going to support you in getting back in shape. You're going to do all of these things. It's all going to be fine. I will support you through this. But again, not the experience that every woman has, unusual, I would say, in the sense that he was so willing to just step back and take care of the baby and, let me do what I wanted to do. Not something that most women experience. And that, I think, is probably what kept me from the postnatal depression, is that I had that supportive partner who was like, look, everything changed, but you're going to go back and you're going to be fine. You're going to get in shape. You're going to keep teaching. You're going to keep working. You're not just going to be at home. It's not going to be your life. But again, not the experience that a lot of
women have. You did go back quite quick. I mean, there was that historic photo of you at the Euros that I remember. It was a Euros.
It was Euros.
You did go back. Tell us a little bit about the integration back to normal life with your body and the changes.
My daughter was born in early September. And for the first 2 or 3 weeks, it was just kind of like, getting into a routine. Luckily, we work from home. We work from home, but we own a gym. So a lot of our time is spent at home. So it was easy to kind of like build a routine and start to integrate her into our life, because newborns don't have any kind of sleep schedule. You can bring them anywhere. It's when they get older, it becomes more of an issue. Newborns are like a purse that cries. So you can literally pack them up and just bring them with you. Our daughter spent a lot of time asleep on like a sheepskin mat next to the bed, or next to the mats, sorry, like a sheepskin blanket next to the mat, or being held by our students. But going back was easy. All of our students really supportive, all that kind of stuff. You get some sleep deprivation, but honestly, I felt that was harder later. When she was a newborn, it was much more just about, all of a sudden they send you home with this baby and you just have to keep it alive. How do you do that? I don't feel qualified. I still don't feel qualified. I make 1,000 decisions about parenting on a daily basis that I don't feel qualified to make at all. But you just kind of do it. And that, I think, going back was pretty easy. And then, you kind of slowly start to lose the weight, and eventually you kind of get back into shape and back into shape enough that you kind of feel like yourself again. But it was hard for a really long time, because then the pandemic hit. I fought at the Euros 2020, and then I did another tournament, and then the pandemic hit. So I was just like, everything is awful. this is all bad. And now we're stuck in the house with this 7-month-old. What am I supposed to do with her? So it was coming back to training. On the one hand, it was easy because we had a lot of support. And on the other hand, it was hard just because, again, we were thrown into this pandemic situation. And that was, I felt like I was coming back and everything was fine. And then the world shut down. Dogs in and out again. And then the world shut down, and it was like being back locked in that pregnancy again, and it was really, really tough. So that it was just a crazy time.
Yeah.
Crazy time.
It was so crazy. How was that for your network? Because was it important for you to have other women in the same stage of having just had a baby to support you as well? Were you able to have a network was that important? And also then did that get disrupted? How did you handle it? No.
We didn't end up being able to make any kind of parent friends at all, other than the people at our gym. Most of them have older kids, though. Until recently, we haven't had any kind of parent friends. I've always found it kind of difficult. A lot of the things that parents kind of get together to do are right in the middle of our working hours, which makes it really difficult to, like, we'll bring her to swimming lessons and stuff like that, but a lot of the groups and stuff in the afternoons are after school, and that's exactly when we start teaching and training and all that stuff. So, you know, our daughter's about to start nursery. She got other experiences. You know, she got to spend a lot of time with her grandparents. She got to spend a lot of time with her cousin, with us. She spends a lot of time with us. We travel around a lot to teach seminars, and so she gets to see a lot of stuff. But I do think that she missed out a lot on that, that like interaction with other kids her age. I know that everybody says that it's not so important when they're babies because they don't really interact. But I feel like she did miss out a little bit.
And did that period have an impact on the on your business, which is phenomenal at this stage? Was there, you know, this insecurity of, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah, the gym itself, yes, definitely. We were worried about the gym for a while, but honestly, I knew if it didn't go on for too long, we would bounce back really fast, which is what ended up happening. We have an online like learning portal, which is where a lot of our income actually comes from. It's not so much from the gym. The gym is more of a passion project than our livelihood, which actually is a really good thing considering the pandemic. But so the gym is like that's our baby, but the online side of things is really where we focus a lot of our energy in terms of making most of our income, which lets us do a lot of stuff with the gym that we wouldn't otherwise do if we were worried about it being our primary income. Obviously worried about the gym, but I knew it would bounce back. Given the opportunity, it was just when it was going to happen more than anything.
God, I think, was it something that you felt that you could talk about with your friends, your experience when you were pregnant? Was it something that you felt that you could actually share?
No, I never really did. I think everybody kind of knew that I wasn't very happy about being pregnant. I don't think that was a big secret. I always felt bad. Like, I had a perfectly healthy pregnancy. It didn't seem like I should be complaining about it. Because they're, like I said, so easy compared to a lot of the stories that I heard and a lot of the experiences that other women had had. Like, I had nothing really to be complaining about in terms of my actual physical pregnancy. And then I've always been more of like an introvert anyway. Everything that I deal with is kind of internal. And Tom is wonderfully supportive, but not so much. It's an experience that he will never understand or really be able to help with, other than just making sure that I was fed and watered and, you know, sleeping enough. But, you know, I feel like it is a very kind of lonely experience, regardless of whether you have mom friends around or you have other pregnant women around you, because it is so unique to you and to what your personal situation is.
And having lived that experience, what would your advice be, if you want, for other women that might be on that journey now and don't know how to deal with it? And maybe don't have Toms around as supportive.
Yeah. You need to find somebody who's going to give you that kind of unwavering support. Like, I have no idea how women, men, anybody, parents alone. Like, I just don't. I think everything that I want to do requires the outside supports. You have to build a support structure, whether it's friends, mom friends, your partner, your gym mates, whatever. You have to have that. You can't do it alone. There's too much involved in parenting, and you just can't be watching all the time, and you can't have every answer or make every decision, because like I said, I make thousands of decisions about parenting a day. Now I'm parenting a 2.5-year-old. So there are lots of decisions to be made, and you know, she has lots of opinions and lots of questions, and she wants to do all kinds of things, and you need to have somebody around that's going to also be able to make some decisions for you, because there's just so many. There's just so many, and it becomes exhausting. And if you are too tired, you just can't possibly make good decisions about anything that your kid's asking you to do.
God, I can only imagine. Oh, the idea of taking something so precious home after
I love it.
Just when you had the baby, just taking him, being like, okay.
And they're so small. They're so small. Even if you've held a newborn, like a brand newborn, even a big one is tiny. And then, you know, it's stuff that nobody tells you. Like, how do you get a onesie on this thing? It's basically just a potato. And how do you not break its arms when you're trying to put the arms in the onesie? And I'm an only child. I have no siblings. I don't have a whole lot of experience with brand new babies. And there's 8,000 car seats on the market. How do you make a decision? How do you decide? So it's those kinds of things that you just get kind of paralyzed.
I've recently found out that you need a different car seat for each different phase that they go through.
Yeah. Yeah. So some car seats will kind of cover different ages, but they can grow out of car seat by weight. They can grow out by height. They can grow out. If you get in even a fender bender, you have to throw the whole car seat away. Who knew? So
what's a fender bender?
Like even like if you just bump another car. Any kind of car accident means the car seat is no good anymore. So you got to get a new one. Why? Luckily, that hasn't happened to us. But who knew about that? I didn't until I had a baby.
Does that do the strap?
Apparently, the plastic can fatigue. And if it's under any stress, then you need to get rid of it and get a new one.
Oh, my God. That's
these
that's
are the like, kinds of who things knew? You don't think about.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew? All the mums and dads.
When you fell pregnant, Chelsea, when you fell pregnant, did you kind of plan that, all right, I'm going to have my break here, but then I'm going to dive into the competitions? How was, because you were a frequent competitor, like you were into the competition life. So how did you plan it in your head? Or did you just go into pregnancy without even thinking about it?
I didn't really plan it. I didn't know how I was gonna feel when I was pregnant. I just figured I'd train as long as I could and do as much as I could for as long as I could, and then I fall somewhere on the kind of like hippie end of the science based spectrum. So like I'm a big believer in science and, you know, evidence-based research, but I'm also a big believer that we medicalize pregnancy and birth way too much. So I wanted to kind of strike that balance between listening to doctors and listening to the research and making sure that I'm doing everything in like an evidence-based way, but also not falling so far on that the end of that spectrum that I'm like never going and like walking up and down stairs, or I'm not squatting, or I'm not doing anything. I'm babying myself, because I feel like that we kind of fall too much on that end a lot of the time. So I plan to just listen to my body as much as possible through pregnancy. And then once I gave birth, same thing, depending on how the birth went, listen to my body after that. And when I felt like I could, I was going to go and do what I could. And that's just how I approached it from the day I got pregnant until pretty much I made the decision to go and do Europeans, and that was that.
It seems that. Yeah.
And how did your body? Because as you say, not all women will be able to do this, but you were able to do strength training and some training throughout all of your pregnancy. When you came back to do after you had Fee and you started training again, How did your body, did you have a C-section or a vaginal birth? Like, how did...
No, I had a vaginal birth.
Okay, so your body had gone through that, that's what. So it, yeah. As well as the pregnancy, you'd had all of that. So how did you then go from that to training? Like, how did your body react? Were you like, your body was like good to go because you'd done so much training, or was there still quite a lot of recovery?
I had, let's see. So I came back on the mat and did like a very, very light kind of flow rolling session. I was about 3.5 weeks postpartum. That's early, but I didn't train hard. I just wanted to go in and like move a little bit because I felt like I was okay enough to do that. Like I said, I had a really easy pregnancy. I didn't have a bad birth recovery either. Very, very easy recovery from birth. I didn't have any ab separation either. I went and I had it checked. Like I didn't want to have any kind of problems with my abs. So I went and I had my abs checked, made sure that I had like, they had knitted back together properly. Everything was okay. Wow. I had no separation. So I just went in and I kind of like, I did a little bit of flow rolling. I kind of moved around a little bit. And that's what I did until I felt ready to like take the intensity up to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then I did, you know, some harder rolling with people that I knew were either smaller than me or I knew weren't going to go crazy with me and like weren't going to put a lot of pressure on me or just going to let me kind of move around. Once I gave birth, I was less worried about the pressure and more worried about me just kind of doing too much because that's how I tend to do things way too much. So I really had to train with people who weren't going to push me past the point where I was under control and like making good choices. But that's kind of what I did. And I just kind of went day by day and I didn't push too hard and I didn't try and
when
do
was the
too
first
much.
Combat? Mm-hmm.
European,
that was the first one.
So it was kind of mid January. Yeah.
Wow.
Fia was born in September and I made 64 kilos by the skin of my teeth in January.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Impressive. That's a very impressive, you know, comeback.
I mean, I guess I felt like at that point, what do I have to lose? I can go out there and I could lose my first match, but nobody expects anything from me at this point. I'm like 4 months postpartum, five months postpartum, maybe. Mm. Like, it's fine. I'm literally breastfeeding between matches. So like, nobody expects anything from me. I can just go out and do this. It's fine. It's not a big deal. So that's why I did it. It didn't matter to me what the tournament was. It was just going out and, you know, doing it.
And you didn't feel rough in your body, the intensity, because you've already went intense before in the preparation, right?
Yeah, no, the intensity was okay. The thing that I noticed for quite some time postpartum was my joints felt loose. You get hormones, obviously, from pregnancy and labor that allow your ligaments to kind of relax and your pelvis to expand and all that stuff. So, but that lingers after birth. So I had to be really careful with particularly small joint manipulations like ankle locks and wrist locks because everything's very, very loose for a long time. So I had to be very careful, particularly with ankle locks because I've got very bendy ankles to begin with. Everything else is kind of strapped up by muscles. So, you know, you get your shoulders are very strapped in by your shoulder muscles and same thing with your knees and your hips and everything. So I would get some pain if I pushed too hard and I knew I had to slow down, but in my wrists, my fingers, my toes, my ankles, that's where I really, really had to be careful because everything was just, it was so easy to just separate and bend and move. And that was really what I had to be careful with.
Wow. I forgot about that bit. How long did
that last
for?
I didn't have any injuries, so.
That's good. How long did that last for?
I think about 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, but honestly, it lasts for some time, and especially if you're breastfeeding, it lasts for a while. And it's just something to be aware of. If you come back to training post-pregnancy, like, you do still have those hormones in your body. And if you have a C-section, I think they drop faster, but I have no evidence of that. I just vaguely remember reading it in a book somewhere.
Something to be aware of.
But yeah, it is a very real concern if you're coming back post-pregnancy to be really careful with those joints, especially if you're already a little bit hyperflexible.
Did you have to up your calories because you were breastfeeding?
Once I gave birth, I kind of dieted down very, very slowly. So I kept my calories under maintenance, but not so far under maintenance that I was going to affect my breastfeeding supply. I worked with Mike Lang from Unorthodox Nutrition, and he made sure that, like, you know, I never had a problem breastfeeding. Again, I had such an easy experience. I'm sitting here telling you all about my antenatal depression, but, like, I had no major issues. These are all things that women can really struggle with. And, you know, breastfeeding, super easy for me. You know, maintaining a good supply, super easy for me. I just had to make sure that I was eating and drinking enough water was the big thing. Because obviously training takes it out of you, like way, way out of you. So after training, I had to really, really make sure I was rehydrating to like keep my, my levels like up for her. Mm-hmm. But she was just such a good eater that it was never a problem.
She's amazing.
Oh.
She's so funny.
Oh,
we took her out on the paddle boards today.
Did you?
She's out there. She's got her little stick in the water.
Chelsea, I'm impressed with her shoulders. The definition.
I know. They're so big, aren't they?
God.
I'm jealous.
God, wow.
Oh, she's so strong. It's unreal.
Shanti, do you want to ask anything? Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think that was really insightful. Thank you.
Really, really good. Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you very much.
I think for women who are, you know, interested in training through pregnancy and all that stuff, there's two books that I read, and they're both by Emily Oster. One is called Crib Sheet, and one is called Expecting Better. Expecting Better is about pregnancy, and Crib Sheet is about kind of like the immediate postpartum like time. And she goes through like all of the evidence that exists. So she's a statistician. So she goes through all of the evidence, and she talks about what it's worth doing, what it's not worth doing, you know, all of this advice that you get. This is where she falls on the spectrum of like what the evidence says. So that's always the book those are the books I recommend to people who are interested in like evidence-based medicine, kind of mixed with more of a listen to what your body is saying kind of message. So those are great. Emily Oster, Crib Sheet, and Expecting Better. Those are the books that I always tell everybody to read.
We can put
pregnant.
The links underneath the notes section. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk, and check out our website for more content.